Motivation, it comes in all different kinds of forms. Milkshakes are a good form for motivation to come in. Thank you, Nate and William. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Amen. Good morning, Grace. Well, here we are. The day has finally arrived. We have come to this day when together we do a new thing as a community of faith. We have come to this day when we, with our God and our Savior and the Holy Spirit, are set free to step out on our path together. I want to begin by saying thank you. Thank you to the diligent vision, commitment, and work of the Discernment Committee and to the Vestry of Grace, who for the past many, many months have devoted themselves to prayer and action to bring us all to this place today. I want to say thank you to all the priests and clergy who have paved the way, walked with you, and set your hearts on a path that has made this place exactly what it is, a place where we can encounter the empowering presence of the life-giving, liberating love of Jesus. Thank you to Father Edwards, to Father Coffey, and Father Butterworth, who are with me today. Thank you for being a gentle support to me as I travel this new journey, and for shining your light along the way. I am deeply grateful. And I want to say thank you to you, to all of you who have and who will welcome me to my new home. Thank you for your hospitality and warmth, your love and support. Thank you to Pat and Chris and all who readied my office and created a sacred space for me to study and to pray and to rest within. It is beautiful. Truly, our success in this ministry is grounded in this welcome and love. And I am ready and willing and eager to begin this new journey with you all and to serve you as your priest. As Augusta said in her sermon 2 weeks ago here at Grace, let us take this time to get to know one another. We have years, years to do the work. Let us take this precious time we have now to truly see one another, because that is our work now, and God is with us in it. Now, before I move any further into our scripture today, which, by the way, is one of my favorite gospel passages, I want to own something right here and now in your presence. Every pastor or priest, including me, as we begin a new call in a new community, has one overwhelming fear. Maybe it shows up in our nightmares or is a reoccurring intrusive thought by day, but every single one of us has it, and it is this. We show up for our first Sunday in our new church home with excitement and some trepidation, and we step up in the pulpit to preach, and as we look out into the pews, our eyes dart around and our hearts begin to sink because we see clearly that the pews are empty. So, right now, I'm doing a little bit of deep breathing and positive self-talk, and I'm reminding myself, y'all are here. You are out there in the land of the internets, and you are here with me now. We are indeed in this together, in this moment, and on this day. And I know so many of you would be right here, right now, if you could be. We all want to be back in church, and we will be. That day will also come. So thank you, And thanks be to God. What an odd and unimaginable time to be taking a new call, to be stepping into a new pulpit and beginning such crucial work. And yet I believe this is the time. This is exactly the right time for us to be doing this new thing together. The world needs us now just as ever, and we will rise to the challenge of this time with God's help. We will move out into the world motivated by the life-giving, liberating love of Jesus. This is what I know is true. Amen. So here we are today with Peter and the disciples in a boat. Jesus has set them out on this body of water while he attempts to get a moment alone, which is not an easy thing for Jesus to do. But he sets them out on their boat, and overnight they hit a stormy, unstable, and scary moment. I think we can all relate to that. Now, for most of these disciples, the boat is a significant object in their lives. The boat symbolizes so much for them and for their communities. A boat is a means to get from one place to another. And yet, for some of these men, the boat has an even deeper and more powerful meaning. A boat, for them, is their greatest tool in their vocation before they met Jesus. A boat symbolizes economic security, safety, and identity. The boat is a familiar and consistent object in their lives and their livelihood. And so here they are, set out in their boat, but they hit a storm, and the familiar, safe, and secure boat is no longer enough. Everything we depend on in this earthly world has limits. And these disciples are experiencing the limits of this worldly thing, their boat, that they have depended on for so long. And Jesus, seeing them struggle, leaves his place of prayer and sets out on the water, walking toward them in the most unexpected way. He is so motivated to go to them and be with them, he walks on water. And when they see him, they don't believe their eyes. Of course, this thing they are seeing is beyond what they can imagine, and so they doubt. They doubt that this figure before them is their friend and teacher, because our imaginations have limits too. But Jesus calls them to imagine something different, something other than the familiar, the safe, and the secure. Peter, testing his imagination, calls out to Jesus, "If it is you, call me to you." What a beautiful way to test our imaginations. Rather than retreating from the thing that scares us, that challenges our imaginations, Peter says, "If this new thing is true, call me deeper into it. Call me to you, Jesus." And so Jesus says, "Come to me." That is the moment. That is the way of Jesus. Jesus says to us, "Come to me." But here is Peter sitting in the familiar, secure place. And while he may be scared by the storm, he certainly has faced storms before. And Peter has the ability to manage wind and rain. The Sea of Galilee isn't that big. I have sat, as have some of you, in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, which in reality is a body of fresh water not much bigger than, say, Lake James. And so while I'm sure he was scared, he was also in a place that was quite familiar to him. But Jesus calls him out of that place and says, "Come to me." Now, I don't know about you, but when I have heard this passage preached on before or discussed among lay people or theologians, there is a tendency to focus on the part of the story where Peter hears the wind and then sinks into the water. We have a tendency to focus on what Peter lacked. We have a tendency to focus on why Peter didn't make it all the way to Jesus. I believe it's our human nature to focus on what we lack. And yet this story, the gospel truth offered to us today has less to do with what Peter lacked and more to do with Peter's strength and courage. Because here's the thing. When Jesus called to Peter to come toward him, Peter got out of the boat. Sure, Peter sank. He became afraid. He didn't make it all the way to Jesus, but he got out of the boat. What courage, what bravery, what foolishness was that? What do you suppose motivated Peter to risk everything in that moment? To risk all of his comfort and security and safety to get out of the boat and go toward Jesus? I was talking with my spiritual director about this passage some months ago, and he told me a story about gravitational pull. Gravitational pull, he said, is the invisible force that pulls objects towards each other, like William and Nate in the milkshakes. We discussed that this story is not about Peter's lack of faith at all, but this story is about the life-giving, liberating love of Jesus. And that love of Jesus was the invisible force that pulled Peter toward Jesus. And that force was so strong for Peter that it raised him above his earthly desire for comfort and security. It lifted him above his need for safety. It lifted him above the stormy waters. That gravitational pull toward Jesus was so strong that he was willing. In fact, he could not resist the pull toward Jesus. So he risked it all and he got out of the boat. Friends, for us today, this is also the invitation. And we need not fear. We do not need to fear leaving our comfort or security or safety. We need not fear failure because at times we will fail. At times we will sink. That is inevitable because we are not Jesus. But as we hear in the story, God, through the hands of Jesus, will not hesitate to save us. So what do we have to fear? Nothing, except getting stuck in the boat. We have nothing to fear, except our human tendency to resist the amazing gravitational pull toward our Savior, toward the life-giving, liberating love of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for us, Grace? Where do we feel the gravitational pull of the love of Jesus calling us out of the boat? Out of the boat of safety and security, out of the boat of the comfort of the familiar. The world needs us now. The world has always needed us to get out of the boat and serve the people of God. This is not the time to fear the storm. This is not the time to sleep in the boat. This is not the time to resist the Holy Spirit. This is the time to feel the invisible force that is the gravitational pull toward the love of Jesus. And we will each feel that pull in different ways. And we will each of us get out of the boat at different times and because of different invitations. But if we are awake, if we are paying attention to the Spirit of God, each of us will feel that gravitational pull of the love of Jesus, and we will feel it so strongly that the question will not be, will we fail or will we sink? No, the only question for us is, will we get out of the boat? Will we rise above the stormy waters of this day? Will we take the risk God calls us to take to serve and follow Christ? So will you get out of the boat with me, Grace? And be assured, I am here to walk with you. So let's do this. Let's open ourselves to feel so deeply that pull of the love of Jesus that we too, like Peter, cannot resist it. Like Peter, we will simply step out of the boat onto the stormy waters and take the risks to follow the life-giving, liberating love of Jesus. Amen.